she's me listen. And boy, does she sing. Her voice swings like a hummingbird, flies like a shooting. Welcome to the Girl Awakening Podcast. I'm Jo Hendy from the Sacred Sister Project.
I'm Amanda Parker from Mayella Organics.
Together each week, we will share a vulnerable, open and honest podcast about the awakening process in all of its sacredness. Episode 12, 13.
Mm.
Lucky 13. Yes.
I like that.
Yes.
And we like it too. Good morning, Helen.
Good morning.
Yay.
So good to be here.
Yeah, we're so honoured to have you here on December the 1st.
Mm. Yeah.
What a great way to start the month and the last amazing. Month of the year.
Mm.
Crazy, crazy year.
Yeah.
Although you won't be listening to Helen until
January,
the new year, which is it's so many beginnings. Helen is bringing all the beginnings.
Yeah.
Endings and beginnings.
Yeah.
Perfect way. So I'm going to just tell the listeners a little bit about Helen. So Helen's a naturopath, a nutritionist, a medical herbalist, and an author. She's been in clinical practice since 2001.
Now, this is wonderful
because it seems like a lifetime
there's
ago.
There's so much information on Helen, but she's like literally been, as most of us listening will be as well, moving through things so fast that you think you're one thing and then all of a sudden you realise that you're not.
Mm.
So where's Helen at now?
Weaving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The tapestry.
The tapestry is coming to life. So... yeah, it's been an interesting few years, I guess, and I'm still coming to what that answer is myself. So, yeah, I had a couple of years, I guess, 2020 and 21 in particular, of just feeling quite stagnant and feeling like I knew from a work perspective my offerings needed to change and evolve because they weren't feeling like they were really fitting me anymore or I wasn't fitting them anymore. But I needed to give it time. It was one of those things like I wanted to have an answer for, but I also knew, you know, I often bring things back to food, like a slow cooked meal, it's got to be in the oven for a long time before it's delicious at the end. So
finding its juices,
that's right. That's right, getting all that flavor and richness and know. So spent a couple of years in that slow stew state, and then this year has just been a really magical year of alchemy, and I can feel the threads are starting to come together. So the tapestry's forming. I don't quite know what it looks like yet, but it feels really good, and it feels so good in my body.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, what is really unique about this chapter and this experience for me is how much in my body I am feeling with myself and with my medicines and gifts and what I'm
it's
here
a
magic for.
The alignment, it's all coming together kind of thing.
Yes. Beautiful. So I'm excited.
We're excited.
I'm watching this space.
Yes. So are we.
It sounds like you're doing a lot of allowing as well and watching this space, isn't it? Like
A lot of trust and yeah, I've been playing with the word surrender, but I don't know that that's quite the right word, and maybe because there's a lot of different associations with the word surrender as well. Because I had been using that. This year has been a huge year learning about rest, and so that's where the word surrender was starting to come in. But rather than surrender, because surrender feels... to me now a bit more like not giving up but not taking part, like not engaging in the process. So now the feeling is more that I am practicing and experiencing more being open in rest in my heart. And that is a space that provides and requires a lot of trust.
That's yeah. really beautiful. So it is really around the allowance, isn't it?
Mm.
In all areas, kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, and not, yeah, letting go of needing to, you know, do the things, work it out in the, your head or in my head, you know. Realizing I've had yeah just some massive lessons around the mind this just even in the last couple months, which has been both tormenting and hilarious, which is actually exactly the same thing I found out. Yeah, just two sides of the same coin. So yes, that was a pretty hilarious revelation. Yeah,
because to me when you said surrender, like it's like that's a thing, that's a word that big word yeah. for me too. So it's there's a sense of like almost against your will sometimes that you to
yeah,
get to,
yeah.
to make you get to that point where you have to
That's
surrender
right.
let go. But when you go say as you said go into trust and into that state of rest, it's like that word, then you went into openness and heart.
That's right.
That felt really like in your own power, you're choosing to create space.
Yeah, and can then engage from a point of rest rather than engaging from tension or just surrendering. And
yeah, laying on your back, doing nothing.
Exactly.
Arms in the air.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
I'm
a puppy dog.
Now. I'm done. Yeah.
Tickle my tummy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be. So we're going to jump straight in. Thank you for sharing that. That I'm sure we will elaborate on that down the track.
For sure.
Yeah, and it will
come
in.
There's lots of pieces in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, yeah.
There always is.
Yeah.
There always is. So we're going to jump straight in and ask you the question.
Mm.
So, Helen, how did your awakening awareness begin?
It's a great question, you know, because I don't know that there was one, you know, shining light moment where there was a big epiphany or anything like that. I think it was more a gradual unfolding and a series of events that kept building on top of one another. I guess like the first thing that comes to mind is just, yes, always being a reasonably sensitive human being.
Yeah.
So having heightened senses of awareness of energy, space around me,
from a young
emotions
girl.
Oh
yeah
and then in my teens I used to do a lot of hiking and still to this day love that.
Yeah, so beautiful.
Yeah, just such good medicine. And one time in particular at 14 years old, and I was terrified of heights, and went hiking down in the Buttewings on the south coast, one of my favorite areas. That's since then has been like a spiritual home to me, because there's one particular mountain there called the Castle, which is stunningly beautiful. And towards the top of it, there's a bit that's a little bit kind of, you know, gets the heart rate going a bit, because there's a little rope scramble, rock scramble, and there's a big drop.
Right.
There's a big drop. And so I was in tears going up there and really afraid to get to the peak. But at the same time, I just knew I couldn't live with myself, basically, if I didn't.
Yeah.
And I had beautiful support with me. Yeah, this is at 14. And so then when I got to the top, and the view from the top is just stunning, and that land, like that area, you can feel... You can feel it. There's a lot there. It's a very tangible aliveness there. Yeah. And I got to the top, and I would say that was my first, you know, God moment.
Yeah.
However you want to describe God. But that was my first moment of, or there's something bigger.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I can feel
so,
that. Yeah. Like, it's like, it's not about the view, or it's not about any of that. It's about the feeling that you had that was something you hadn't felt before. And it's like, oh my God.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
It's so beautiful.
So yeah, a lot of love for that land and that space. And then, you know, in my teens and early 20s as well, I went through a lot of depression. My body was inflamed, you know, just from a kid, despite my parents being wonderful and taking the best care that they could. You know, I had a lot of immune stuff going on from 3 or 6 months old, yeah, kind of thing. You know, I tried to be this is a fun story.
Yeah.
Tried to be born 3 months too early.
Oh.
And mum had to be medicated and lots of bed rest for the remainder of the pregnancy, because back then that was a pretty critical time.
Yeah, well, they
probably
wouldn't
have made
it.
No,
they wouldn't have had the, yeah.
Yeah,
the technology.
So managed to stay in the oven
until
I was appropriately cooked.
Cook a bit longer.
Yes, exactly. But what I didn't find out until 5 years ago was that when mum went into labour, they were driving on a dirt road through that national park that I was just telling you about.
No.
Yeah, right? I was like, this is my stop.
I'm getting out.
Yeah. I was like, how have I never known that? Especially when they know I love that area, you know.
So
I'm like, I can't
beautiful.
Believe I never knew that.
It freaking amazes me, these stories,
yeah,
that like we've spoken a few times about stories that come out many, many years later about our childbirth or what was happening in our parents' lives when we were born, or
and
what an impact it makes on us,
yeah,
that opening up of like, okay, you know.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So amazing.
So
beautiful.
Yeah. So then I think, you know, where I was heading with that too was the immune dysregulation, the asthma, the eczema, the allergies and the hay fever, the recurrent bronchitis and tonsillitis, pneumonia, shingles, that was all before I even left school, right? Yeah. So then I was fortunate enough in my teens to be introduced to essential oils.
Yeah.
And when my sister had my niece, like I had just been using them to make my own skincare and things like that, but when my sister had my niece, I was 15 and she was living at home again. And so I was like her second mum for a couple of years. And whenever she would get sick, I'd look up the book and get the oils out and be like, oh, she actually responds really well.
Yeah.
I was like, there's actually something to this. This isn't just, you know,
woo-woo
or whatever.
Pretty room smelling.
Yeah,
started,
exactly. And so, because, you know, I didn't grow up with natural medicine in my family. It was all very mainstream. So that really piqued my interest. And then through that, eventually I found out about naturopathy and I thought that's perfect, because I was a bit of a greenie and I've always had like a strong carer archetype alive within me. So that was like a really nice blend of the two.
Exactly.
And so, by the time I was finishing school, I knew that that's what I wanted to go do. So as soon as I finished year 12, I moved to Sydney and started studying. And that whole process of A, studying, but then B, especially starting to work with people was a huge part of my awakening as well, because what I have since realized, you know, the less inflamed you are, the more tuned your antennas are, right?
Wow.
So having spent the first couple of decades in a bit of a fog, as inflammation started to drop, you become more aware of yourself, your environment. It's one reason why I love working with people with food, because I find it a great doorway of awakening, because people will start to realize how much of an impact that has on how they feel and all these symptoms they've had going on. And then they start to become more aware of, okay, so what's happening to the production of that food, or where's that food grown and how is it grown?
Mm-hmm.
And like before you know it, you're looking into the environmental and economic and social aspects of what you're putting into your mouth, and that totally changes how you see the world. So I think that was actually a huge part of my awakening.
That's so interesting, because I've just been listening to someone else on YouTube, and she talks about how our soils are totally effed up. The soils that we have here, everywhere basically, are just so saturated with chemicals.
Glyphosate.
And she said if we had the soil that we should have and growing vegetables, the vibration of those vegetables would be healing us in days.
And the meat as well.
Exactly.
Right? Like we've got very domesticated meat, and we've become very domesticated animals ourselves, right? But we're not eating real vibrant foods. And speak to anybody who has a regular, or even has had tastes of eating a wild diet, where it's not just the same 5 veggies from the supermarket and the same 3 industrialized meats kind of thing. then there's a different vitality that you get from the food. And it, I mean, from a basic day to day and very accessible for a lot of people, variety of that is just going to farmers markets, for example, instead of going to the supermarket. There's so much more vitality and aliveness in those foods that have been picked fresh, and the people who have picked them are there handing them to you.
The joy of that exchange as well.
I love that. I love markets.
Me too.
It's that, like water for chocolate, isn't it? It's that whole thing of like the love vibration all the way through to when it's going in your mouth.
It's so interesting. It's just another aspect that we've shut off. You know, that we've gone, oh, it's just food.
Like, how can we just do this more efficiently and get it done so that we can get on with getting
commercialization.
You know, so that we can go be busy doing something else.
Fast food.
Don't get me started.
We're not going to waste our time now on that. I'm sure there's people out there that are doing amazing podcasts around that, which I think most of our listeners would be aware of. So you're now a teen, and you've finished school, studied,
practicing, and funnily enough, you know, as much as you learn a lot of theory, obviously, when you're going through uni, and you go, that's interesting, and it's a piece that I still don't know how I didn't piece together at the time, because often when you're studying about all these different diseases, you're like, oh my god, I've got all these different diseases and I'm going to die. But somehow two and two didn't get put together then when I did actually have symptoms. And so it wasn't so it wasn't until I actually started seeing patients and they were coming to me and like, what's the reason that you're here? I've got these symptoms. And I was like, oh, I've got those symptoms. But I haven't thought of doing anything about that, because to me that was normal. Like, that's what I had grown up with. So I didn't know any different. And it wasn't even like I was ever trying to be healthier, because I didn't know that there was a healthier or a different to feel, you know.
That's so wild.
Until I started feeling it. And then it was like, oh my God, I can't believe I felt like that for so long, you know. Like,
that is crazy.
And I get really passionate when working with kids or teens these days as well, because you can see so many are like inflamed or grey or dark circles under their eyes or like just not vibrant, right? And but they think they feel fine. I'm like, I know you think you feel fine, but I know you can feel so much better, you know, and get so much more joy out of life. And so that's like, I love being able to, you know, facilitate or hold space for those doorways to open. But so journey's continued, getting married and divorced, that always, you know, helps to open some doorways of awakening.
Feel a few layers away.
A little self-reflection.
So definitely had some self-reflection. 2011 was definitely a dark night of the soul year.
Fantastic.
You know, always love when they rock around. Afterwards.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Always afterwards. Yeah. Hindsight's such a wonderful.
Shall pass.
But
yeah, so that was a massive, you know, turmoil, but huge gift as well. And I was living in New Zealand at the time. So yeah, after that, came back here and began the journey of, I guess, collecting myself again, and maybe even for the first time, to be honest, you know, bringing all these parts. And so since then, like, life has, I've had a, you know, pretty extraordinary ride overall.
Yeah.
And none of those things would have happened if I stayed, you know, in the relationship I was, or in the country I was, or, you know. So, and at the time, making changes was terrifying. But it was, again, just that trusting. I don't even need to, it was kind of like the whole GPS thing. I don't need to know the end destination. I just need to know the next turn or the next step, you know. And what, some days it was just put your left shoe on. Put your right shoe on. Okay, pick up your keys. Okay, get to the door. Go around the corner. That kind of thing to, all right, move back to Australia. Okay, how am I going to do that? And, you know, don't worry too much, but just get there. Okay, do that. And then within a week of getting back, met Pete Evans, and then I had clinics going over here, two clinics, and then we were doing the paleo way tour, and then asked to co-author a book, and then things just kept like happening. Growing and
wow.
Yeah, so there was just so many big gifts waiting over here to come back to, so that was really beautiful. Yeah,
it's just
a huge affirmation, isn't it, that trusting and putting your shoe on, picking out your keys, that it's possible, isn't it?
Totally.
That it's there waiting.
And it's the only way to go through it too, right? You can't like get around it any other way other than, you know,
trudging. Oh, you'd be surprised.
Well, you can try. You can try.
Yeah. That's what I'm loving about just
and
hearing.
Then it just comes and bites you on the ass later on.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. And I'm loving just listening to you and how you've listened to yourself.
Mm.
You know, you've kind of just gone with whatever's come out next. You know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to go down here, even as a team with the oils, like that's there's a lot of awareness in that in itself, you know, where a lot of girls would be caught up in so many other areas at that age, you know, boys and drugs and parties and all of that, but it's like, you know, your awareness was quite strong even at a young age,
yeah,
and you were listening to that, which is really beautiful.
And I think just listening to that is probably the biggest superpower as well. And they're not only listening to it, but acting on it, actually, because I've had a few significant lessons of listening but not acting accordingly. And it's like, okay, yeah, the action's not yeah. Otherwise, you'll know about it.
Absolutely. So when did you first notice? This is probably, you probably answered a little bit of this, but I'm going to ask anyway. When did you first notice a shift in your thoughts about the world around you? Like, did you start to become aware of, oh my God, I know you talked about food in that aspect, but was there any other areas that you were starting to wake up to and go, okay, that's not the way I thought it was? Or because I know Pete, we brought up Pete. I know Pete too. And I love, he's pushing boundaries and he's waking people up.
Totally.
Was he a big, like, did he, was he a person that's, you know, was waking you up in that area, or were you having conversations, or was it you?
He's been a gift in many ways. I'm going to rewind a little bit though first, because I've never really thought about it in this way before, or never really asked that question of myself before. So, but I even remember, like, in primary school, and I went to Catholic primary school, and parents are Catholic, and we go to church, and I just even remember standing there going, what are they doing? Like, everybody is just droning. Like, what it felt like, it might not have been the case, but what it felt like to me at the time was people mindlessly reciting songs and prayers.
Yeah.
And doing the actions of standing there and sitting there, and there might have been some actual prayer, but it didn't feel particularly embodied or
connected.
So potentially from quite young is what I'm thinking or feeling. But and then there's been, I guess, again, lots of things over the years. One thing that I'm super, well, many things I'm super grateful for Pete for, but one thing was just really getting the practice. It's funny because, again, I didn't know who Pete was before I met him. Grew up without a TV, never had one as an adult except for watching DVDs on or stuff like that.
That's pretty cool in itself.
Yeah. And I remember being in New Zealand still, and my sister messaged me and saying, oh, Pete Evans is all over the newspaper for activating his nuts. And I was like, who's Pete Evans?
Yeah.
And she goes, he's a chef. And I said, well, I don't know who he is, but I like him.
Yes. Because
if he's talking about that, then he knows what he's talking about, right? And when I was in New Zealand, I used to come over to Sydney every couple of months to see patients still over here for a week at a time. And I would stay with friends, and they're like foodies, and they'd be watching all these cooking shows. And I would be at their place and I'd go, you know, I really wish there would be a celebrity chef who would take on real food.
Wow.
Yeah.
So,
and because I would say,
imagine, out in the world.
yeah, imagine the reach that you could get. Yeah. You know, imagine the message you could deliver. Look how popular these shows are.
Mm.
Anyway,
unaware of the backlash at this stage.
Yes, exactly. Unaware of what I was signing up for. But yeah, so, and again, having no idea of Pete at that point, and then my sister with this phone call, and then within a week or 10 days of moving back here, meeting Pete at a Mind event, and then yeah, connecting with work. And one of the big gifts he gave was the Paleo Way tour.
Mm-hmm.
And just speaking so regularly.
Yeah.
And not and off the cuff as well. It wasn't like, have your slides ready and, you know, do a presentation like that. It was just really speaking from experience and from the heart and from, yeah, just from embodied truth. Knowledge, basically, yeah. You know. And that was a embodied huge knowledge. Gift for me in, I guess, building confidence in myself and belief and realizing and, you know, not making it about me either. That whole thing of if there were any moments of anxiety, like, it's not about you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You're there as a conduit to share stuff that's going to help other people, but, well, hopefully, but it's not about you. And so that would help. And then writing the books with him was a big gift as well. Like, Baba Yum Yum was a very stressful gift.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I remember. Yeah.
So I always knew, you know, the media was full of crap.
Yeah.
But to be...
targeting.
To be on the inside of that
and
experiencing it from that point was very eye-opening, despite... already, as I said, knowing that they were full of rubbish, but just seeing how much is manufactured and how much it's not even, they're not even spinning the truth. They're not even looking at the truth to spin. They're just like making stuff up out of thin air. And then public opinion getting out the pitchforks, you know? It was like, wow, it was such an intense, like second to, you know, separating from my marriage. It's one of the top stressful experiences of my life.
Well, when, especially we when getting, people are lying blatantly
about you. Yeah, we were all three of us getting threats of different sorts. And so there were quite a number of times where we would get together and go, do we just throw the towel in on this? But that was more when we were in our head and the, you know, the fears of repercussions would come in.
Yeah.
But whenever we'd sink into the heart and go, actually, this is needed, it's a no-brainer, literally. And so we'd continue on, and that helped to face the storm. But it was a huge training ground for me in the realm of criticism as well, because I was never that great with receiving criticism.
Yeah.
And whereas now I can see it more as you're doing something right if you're being criticized. And it does offer the opportunity to take stock as well and go, okay, could I have done this any better? No, that was actually great. Or, okay, I could have done this better. And how can I deliver it in a way next time that is going to have a different result? Or, but sometimes it is, no, actually, that was the best way to have done it, and I'm okay with that, even if you're not.
Absolutely.
Different opinion and to know what your purpose was and why you deliver it in a certain way. Powerful, because that's a classic thing too, isn't it? Like, tall poppy in Australia is massive, but and from a woman's journey, you know, the whole you know, you're not allowed to be powerful, you're not allowed to speak your truth. You know, the witch's journey, you know, this is tied to the stake. You must have been so feeling that. But then the people, the many, many, many people who are just loving what you had to share and were benefiting from that as well.
Yeah, well, the feedback, the only feedback we got from people who had actually read it or used the resources was overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was a nice, at least, you know, return or reflection of, you're on the right track as well. Yeah. So.
Well, thank you. Thank you for following through
my
on your
pleasure
choice.
In hindsight.
I'm sure there's many people that were like, thank
hindsight
you.
Hindsight is gold,
Because
that kind of leads us into the thing of, like, you know, in your, in this journey of awakening and, you know, doing what you're being called to do, like being open to that is, was there people that you left behind in doing that?
Or things.
Or things, yeah.
Good question. I don't know. Like, see, this is one thing with me as well. I've always been quite independent.
Yeah.
Like, pathologically so at times. Not necessarily a good thing, note to self. So I don't think I really... there was some challenging relationship interactions.
Yes.
For sure, that brought up stuff.
Around your beliefs and their beliefs and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. More family-related
yeah.
ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But aside from that, no, like I'm really lucky in terms of when I moved to Sydney. So I moved to Sydney when I was 17. I went to school in Canberra. My first 3 years were in Indonesia. In Canberra, I never really felt at home. Like it didn't feel like my people.
In Canberra?
Yeah.
That's really strange. Being sarcastic. From Bali, I was looking at you like, to Canberra, like, wow, that's a massive shift.
Yeah, so I didn't really, didn't feel like home and didn't really feel like my people, no offense, Canberra people. I love you all.
Yes.
But for me at the time, it just didn't feel like my place, I guess. And so when I moved to Sydney, I had like a clean slate and all the friends I have, I just love my friends so much, you know. Like I've got such an incredible community, both close circle and wider circle. And so I don't feel like I've had to go through what a lot of people have had to go through in terms of culling relationships to remain aligned.
Beautiful.
And so to maintain boundaries. Mm. So from a friend point of view, like I've had... so much beautiful support.
That's nice, because I think by the sounds of it, you've had quite a beautiful upbringing, really. Like when you say no TV and all that, like a lot of people grow up.
I'm so grateful.
Yeah,
for that.
That's
so
such grateful. A huge thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's very powerful in itself. And I know that sounds kind of weird, TV, but.
Oh, no, it's huge.
It's huge.
And I think especially now, because there's screens everywhere, like whether it's phones, computers, TVs, whatever. And they are so addictive, you know.
Absolutely.
And so invasive, and they really do shift perspectives a great deal. So I think that's probably had quite an impact on my worldview too, because even pre the last few years, which obviously the media's been, you know, next level.
Yeah. Far
out. But even pre that, it was really bizarre when, you know, I'd be in a waiting room somewhere or out somewhere and the TV is on and you see the ads and you're like, wow, do people really... Like, it just seems so brainwashy.
Yeah. So brainwashy.
And so false.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like... yeah, wow, do people really believe that? And then in the last few years, that's just been emphasized even more. And now it's like, I can't even, it's hard to comprehend the investment of energy and time in that. But then if you don't know any different, you don't know any different, you know? So people are not realizing the impact that it's having on their moods, their thoughts, their behaviors, their beliefs, their perspectives.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Everything.
Like,
seriously.
All of it. Yeah, totally.
And I think that's really perfect for what we're here for, you know, the Girl Awakening podcast is about this thing, you know, just having even one listener go, oh, really? Is the TV really that having that effect on me? Yeah, it is, you know.
So much so.
Keeping you disconnected, distracted.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Disorientated. And
telling you what to think or feel.
Yeah.
Misinformed. Mm. Yeah.
And when you were talking then, I literally went, and this so relates to the rest thing that you've been talking about. You know, it's like there's no rest in that world whatsoever.
No. Oh, gosh, no.
Yeah. Because their goal is to keep your mind in overdrive.
Yeah, and the more, the busier you are and the more, whether it's distracted or the more things that are grabbing for your attention, the less ability you have for that quietness to actually tune in and listen to yourself as well.
Yeah.
And when you do that, like, you get information like that. Like, we are such incredible antennas, right? It really is like a superpower. Yeah. And it's actually, it gets funner and funner. Yeah. I know they're great, great words. But it gets funner and funner to play with as well, right? Because it is literally like magic.
Yeah.
It really is. And I feel like, yeah, I would love culturally for more awareness around that and fostering of that, because I think with that there would just be so much more cohesion and compassion and empathy, rather than, you know, the tension and divide and all of that kind of thing, whether it's within ourselves or with other people.
And it's almost like a babysitter, isn't it? Like, you know, for
kids and adults.
Like, instead of sitting and thinking or sitting and feeling, sitting and, you know,
knitting.
Creating something. Yeah. We have this thing, it's a babysitter, and it distracts our mind. Holds us.
I feel it in myself. If I'm at home and it's a rainy day and it's like, that's permission to watch a movie. You know, it's like, I can feel that instead of, okay, I'm, and it's a choice too. It really is. At the end of the day, it's not to
say there's never a place for
Absolutely. Yeah. But if you're choosing to awaken and to, you know, go into this area, then you have to be wise about the decisions you're making around
what you're doing to watch as well.
Like, I've there's something in me, and it's only been in the last 12 months where the whole violent movie things, you know, that my boys have been into and love watching, I just say, oh no, that doesn't feel right to me. And it's, I know it's a movie and there's actors and all that, but
I know exactly what you mean.
There's something that doesn't feel right even watching it. It's really interesting.
I feel you.
That's a big one. So that was one of the things that you've noticed, you know, that's happening around you, that you're waking up to around in the world, is this. I mean, you obviously always have been, because you've had no TV and all that growing up, which is so fucking fantastic. Like, literally.
Create so much space, to be creative and just
out exploring and do other things.
So I know there's layers of this too, you know, of waking up and noticing other things happening around you. Is there any other areas that you've noticed that haven't been or true to what you've thought? Like, this is great, because we've talked about the food and the soils and all that. We know all that. And then we've looked at the media and all of that.
Well, we talked about the soils off. Oh, no, we talked about the soils on.
Yeah,
we did. But, yeah, but I'm just getting distracted by Helen's smell, because she smells amazing.
That's good.
Essential oils. Like, you know, it's a language of its own, isn't it? Like, totally. You know. It's almost like, do you find, like, I'm going off track here. I'm distracting from that question.
We go off track all the time. Yeah. It's perfect.
Do you find it, blends that you create, is that kind of like, it's like a little tuning into where you're at?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. I've got like three different combinations on right now. So I make up my own body oil with, you know, castor oil and jojoba oil, and then some of my favorite essential oils, which is a combination of that, you know, and it changes throughout my life depending what stage and phase I'm in. But I like a bit of grounding, but I also like, you know, feminine and floral and a little lightness in there too, you know. So they're the kind of fragrances I will go for. But then I also, a friend gifted me a beautiful roller, which I love the smell of and I find quite grounding. And then another dear friend of mine has an aromatherapy company, 28. Kim Morrison, do you know?
Yes, of course.
So,
yes,
and I love her blend, so I've got one of hers on as well. Nice. So, you know.
Actually, we have to reach out to her.
A little
She's
bit of
beautiful.
This, a little bit of that. Yeah, she'd be great on here.
Absolutely. Hi, Kim. I'm big on my essential oils too. I love them. And it literally, just talking about that, because they obviously have vibration, and that's, you know, totally why we use them and why we feel drawn to them. But I was thinking back to when my kids were little, and I'm this is going to be probably controversial, I don't really care, but around the vaccination thing, I wasn't too aware back then, but I was kind of feeling different things, and I just felt like, well, I don't want to do that, you know. And so, what are we going to do? So that's,
and there's that intuition.
Yes,
as well, right?
Coming in, and you don't know it at the time. Yeah. But I remember going down the little tablets. I can't even
homeopathic. Homeopathic.
Yes. Yeah. And I remember buying this kit. I came home with it, and I said to Trev, "Look what I got."
Yeah.
I think it cost me like nearly $1,000. Had everything in it.
Yeah.
And he said, "Oh my God, you've got this," and he knew all about it.
Wow,
and I'm like, "Honey, so cool. What are you telling me about
what have
this?
You been hiding this from me for?"
So I went down that path with the kids with vaccination,
homeopathically.
Yeah, and it was so beautiful.
They did the same.
Yeah, haven't had any issues with my kids' health. So it's the same essential oils, and that they kind of go, you know, hand in hand, don't they?
There's so many gifts from Mama Nature.
Yes.
Like, it is extraordinary on so many different levels.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, ancestral, energetic healing, whatever it might be, there are just so many medicines.
Mm-hmm.
If we take the time to spend some time with them, it's pretty extraordinary what can unfold.
It's all about matching frequency and energy, isn't it? So the body, we're energy, and we need to match the frequency, and then it can transmute.
Yes.
Basically, that's the bottom line of all these things, isn't it? Like,
yes,
matching.
Transmutation.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's where put all the, as I've been kind of visualizing anyway, it's like putting all the stuff in the cauldron, and then it transmutes into something, and then something magic flies out. You're like, wow, that's so cool.
The white witch.
Yes. It's coming too strong.
Yes. I can see it now.
Oh, so good.
The beautiful big white hat on, and just like, you know, it's so beautiful.
I'll go get my outfit.
Yeah.
She's got the little,
the wiggling nose. So beautiful.
But that's what you're saying about the frequency thing, isn't it? Because you can choose to use essential oils for different purposes, but in the time and nature, the negative ions, the communicating with the trees, you know, that whole
being in natural bodies
alignment,
of water.
Yeah, away from the radiation and the you know, the frequencies that are synthetic, that are man-made, you know.
Which there are a lot of.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? It's like, this is back to that question, you notice things, you know, happening around you. It's like they're trying to move us away from, because we're talking frequency energy with the oils, with the food, with the, you know, the natural medicines, but people, let's just say people, trying to suppress and dull us and densify our energy by saying, no, you need this medication, no, you need that medication.
Yeah.
So
very disempowering.
Totally. And it's not being, you know, it's not being brought out as much as it really should be, because it's good for us.
Totally.
Yeah. So interesting.
It is.
Lives of convenience, isn't it? Like what you were saying before, you know, with the food again, it's like, it's convenient to live in this way, but actually it's killing me.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, comfort is a killer. Comfort and convenience.
And
nice,
it's cheaper.
Nice to have some comfort at times. You don't want to be, you know, battling. But yeah,
living in a tree
prolonged comfort can be a pretty dangerous thing.
We'll be careful.
Senses get turned off.
That's
yeah, exactly it.
We'll let a few of you wake up, but not all of you.
Yeah.
And the ones that do, we're gonna make you look like
crazy
people.
Wit.
yeah that's right.
So where are we?
At least we can all laugh about it together.
Yes,
though, right?
Yes.
Oh, like,
yeah.
It's such a cosmic joke.
Yes. It literally is.
On who, really?
Yeah. Us.
That's so beautiful. Yeah, that is so true.
Yeah.
It's on everybody.
Yeah, exactly. It's just we're all at different stages, and that's all it is. Nobody's below or above, or it's
the moment you
thing.
Think you're above, you'll be knocked down
pretty
quickly.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, humble pie.
Okay, I've got to my happy place.
Yeah,
chaos.
Yeah.
I'm enlightened. Woo. Crisis.
So true. Watch what you ask for. Hey? Oh, far out.
It ebb and flows, isn't it?
Just
constantly.
Yes,
the power of asking.
Before we move on to some more interesting areas.
Further interesting areas.
Yeah, love the interest. So what do you do now to support yourself in staying in the moment more, like to, you know, with that energy we're talking about, the frequency we're talking about.
So a number of different things. One is, and probably the biggest one, is actually resting.
Yeah.
Which you can circle back around to.
Yeah.
But other things are things that really help me to get back into my body, because I mentioned, can't remember if it's before we started recording or afterwards, but realizing my propensity to dissociate or abandon myself and how readily that can happen, where I really didn't think that that was the case.
Can you explain what that means? Like, what is it that you do? And is it...
So, what is it that I do? So, for example, with abandoning myself, it could be I'm in a process, I'm either in a task or having an experience, and I've got to move from here to walk or drive over there. And I don't really want to leave what I'm doing, and I'm going to come back to it. But so I had an experience where in the mind it went, okay, well, we'll just put a halt on that and then go do that, come back and then get started again. And I was like, whoa, I just totally left myself in that moment, right? Just dropped myself on the roadside while I went off and did what I needed to do to come back to then be with myself again. And then I had this experience of, okay, what if I actually take myself with me on that journey, you know?
Yes.
And so really practiced. I could feel it in my body, like it was this left and lower side of my abdomen where there's been this tension, like probably most of my life. And I could feel that tension, a result of it being abandoned, like myself being abandoned. And so I was literally just hands on belly and like, I'm taking you with me this time. I've got you. And there was that sense of like little Helen was being...
I was going to say, it's like a sad...
Yeah, I'm feeling that.
It's like, it's all right. You're safe. I've got you. I'm taking you with me. You're not going to be left. And so then I went through the task that I was doing really mindful to make sure that I stayed present with myself. And the interesting thing is that that changes the pace in which you do something as well. There's then less speed and rushing. And yeah, it's what one, my spiritual mama, my Karima, was reflecting back to me the other day. It's like finding your actual pace, because so often we're living through life at a pace that isn't our own, that we can't possibly stay present to ourselves in that pace. So I guess the not abandoning myself piece is like staying present to all parts of me, and simultaneously being able to hold that, simultaneously being able to hold myself and presence of myself while being aware of what I need to do or what's going on around me, rather than just doing what I need to do and getting activated or anxious or just alert by what's going on around me and forgetting to tune in with what's going on in me, kind of thing. So, and being able to hold both of those things. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, that's, that's so beautiful.
That's very, like, very powerful.
Poor little Joe is like, it's parts of her
everywhere.
Right, we
just run off without them, right? Like, all our little selves are like, hey, what about me? Oh, shit, you've just left me out here. So, oh, no, you're coming with me. All good.
And, yeah, that that's that list, that to-do list, isn't it? Constantly in that thing of, like, have to do this, need to do this, and I'll just get that done, and then I'll be able to, you know, do this. And that self-love talk that is such a huge part of media and, you know, social and socials and things like that, you know, it's like all about self-love matters and that. But what you just talked about, that's really the essence of it, isn't it? To not separate out, not 100%. Compromise by being split person. We're all split personalities.
Totally. And that's the whole thing, you know. I guess why I love the word embodied as well, and it's, you know, the name of my clinic is Well Embodied, and that has lots of layers of meaning. But yeah, there are so, we have so many parts, of ourselves. And like I mentioned before as well, you know, often they're all very compartmentalized in different areas of life and will only connect in with any one of them at particular times rather than actually integrating all those parts into ourselves, so that we can have like a full experience of who we are at any given point in time.
And the thing I'm getting to is back to that rest thing.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
I can feel that in that moment. Oh,
it's like, yeah, rest is fascinating. Yeah. I'm still like wrapping my head around it, ironically. The head struggles with it because obviously their head, the mind is just so used to like doing and ticking things off the list. And how do I know that that's done? And, you know, and I've realized like I've been on a huge journey with rest since the start of July. And that has been like intensified in the last 2 months with a lot of journeys that I've been on. And I'm really starting to understand what rest is for the first time in my life. And I don't think I'm projecting this as my experience on others, but my sense is that most people don't actually know what rest is. And it's actually profound, you know, and it's this little four-letter word, and it gets thrown around all the time. And we think we're having a rest when we're lying on the couch or watching a show or, you know, whatever it might be. But part of, I guess, my awakening with rest this year has been realizing even when I thought I was resting, I was not actually resting. And a lot of the reasons for that were beyond my conscious awareness.
Yeah.
And when you go and delve into rest and what that is and what that means and how to experience it, as a result of exploring that, all of the things that are blocking you or all of the areas in which you block it will come up around rest. So they're the uncomfortable things to see. And that's where I saw the dissociation and the abandonment. And it's also where I realized, like, solidly for the first time, I understood where this lack of safety in my nervous system had come from. Because essentially, that primal lack of safety, which wasn't even conscious, was what was preventing me from ever resting. And why, even when I felt like I was resting, it was always like I could feel not rested.
Yeah.
Or I'd feel overwhelmed or exhausted, or and I'd attempt to rest, but the rest wasn't really happening because
so deep.
Was something far deeper.
And the thing I'm getting to when you're talking is that for me, and I don't know why I'm thinking this, but it's like it involves maybe more than just one person. Do you know what I mean? Like, rest may be better done with somebody supporting you, like fully, that's conscious of. I'm not sure, but that keeps coming up, that it might be easier to be finding it with people that can actually support you in that, like, rest area. And I also get, like, so many aspects of ourselves spiritually have gone out, you know, and is the full rest bringing all of that, all of the aspects of
us. Totally. Yeah. I think full rest is bringing all aspects of us back in 100%, because when we bring all of our aspects back in and we can actually be fully ourselves, that's when we get a sense of safety and belonging. When we're with other people and we can be as weird or quirky or bizarre or whatever as we are, and we're loved for that. And I had a really beautiful experience of that recently with the Wilderness Solo I was on. This year I've been doing Jane Hardwick Colling's Four Seasons Journey, which is a year-long program, and total magic, recommended for any woman.
Is this one part, because I was a little triggered with one that I saw on your Instagram, which is a laughing one. Did you do something to do with laughing? Oh,
that was at another retreat down in Jindabyne.
Yeah. So I looked at that and I was like, I would find that confronting.
Yeah, I did. Yes. Yeah.
I looked at it and was like, oh, I couldn't do that. You know?
Yeah.
Like, there's all these people just hysterically laughing. And yeah. I was laughing watching it, but yeah. I was like, I don't know whether I could do that.
Yeah, you totally could.
You got to invoke the Dalai Lama. He can do a belly laugh.
You just
got to
go like, I don't care. What's the line for this podcast?
No fucks given. Thanks to Helen Patrick.
Yeah, you've just got to, the more, and that's a really liberating, line to remember. Is no fucks given, because the more that you can care less about what other people think, and that is so much easier said than done.
Absolutely.
But that is a really liberating place. I heard someone talking about...
There has to be love in place though, doesn't there? When we say no fucks given, yeah, it's like no, you don't just do things to take people out.
Totally. Recently I heard someone say about Dave Chappelle... I've never met anybody who cares more deeply and gives less fucks. And I was like, that is cool. Great.
Yeah.
I love that line, So the deep care is there.
Yes.
But the others' opinions, not so much.
Absolutely.
Because that's the holding space, isn't it?
Yes.
That, we're attached to others' opinions, and that holds us where we're not often meant to be.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And again, it's all a practice, right? Yeah. It's not like you learn these things and then you get A pluses every time. Exactly. It's just like, oh, I did that again. Yes. Okay. But I'm aware of it.
I think we're coming more into that space where we're becoming more allowing of others to be who they truly are.
I think so. And that's one thing Pete Evans would often say as well when we were doing the tour, we're so caught up on fitting in, and he was all about fitting out, I really love that. Like, if you want to belong, fit out, don't fit in. Yeah. Because if you're fitting in, you will never actually feel a sense of belonging, because you're not actually really being yourself.
Yeah.
Whereas if you just be you, that's when you're going to get that sense of belonging, which from my conversations with people is something that a lot of people are feeling a lack of.
Absolutely.
In this culture, people all around us, apps all around us, social media all around us, feeling really alone. Gathering in person and being unapologetically yourself, and like really learning as well to appreciate other people's quirks and like how fun that there's all these different colors on the palette, than just the primary colors.
Well, that's the first lesson right there, isn't it? Because if you're not being yourself, how can you allow others to be?
Exactly.
It's like totally, you have to go the whole spectrum.
It's a huge other area, but that's like the whole queer movement and the LGBTQ, it's like that's all about really trying to just, it's about just being expressing yourself as you feel true and finding that and part of that journey, but it's quirkiness is a gorgeous word. I love quirkiness.
Well, I think we all try to like be too like cool or serious or like we've got it all together all the time, right?
No, absolutely. And we so haven't. It's like we get to one level and we're literally, I know you get to the top of one level, but it's actually the bottom of the next. It's like
it's an adventure.
It's such an
adventure. And it's never ending, and adventures aren't always easy, but I've always loved adventure in the outer world, like with hiking or caving, climbing, whatever it is. But yeah, the adventure of the inner world is the biggest adventure of all, that's for sure.
This is a beautiful segue right now to jump into the next phase that we want to talk about with Helen.
Yes.
Did you want to ask the question?
That sounds very exciting to me. So, Helen, we've talked a lot about healing and your awakening process so far, but another part of your awakening journey has been around plant medicine, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you want to share a bit with our listeners around that?
Yeah, happy to.
Oh, yay! Yes.
Oh, gosh. Well, like I was saying before as well, it blows it blows my heart. Just how many gifts and medicines Mother Nature has provided us, and just if the calling is there to explore some of that, then I highly, you know, recommend searching out and feeling out a space in which you can do that, where there's a lot of reverence and respect and a very safe container to do that in. So these, you know, there's many medicines to choose from as well.
Mm.
I have had some experience with plant and animal medicines, so frogs and toads and vines.
Oh yeah, forgot about that. Which one should we start with?
Yeah, that's right.
And here I bought some in today.
Yeah. She hasn't really after the episode.
That'd be great. So yes, I guess, you know, my journey with that started a few years ago, and my first introduction was with Cambo, which is a frog medicine, and was more of a physical purge for me. Brought up some emotional things. It's not at all psychedelic, but it was amazing how it laid the pathway for what was to come as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
so what is, sorry because I'm excited, I love this area. What is the feeling like of Cambo? What's the bodily feelings?
Unpleasant. The physical feelings of Cambo were heat, a lot of nausea, like period pain. It felt like for me, I was purging both ends.
Yes.
It was a good cleanse.
Yes.
I was sitting on the toilet going, oh, my mum would be so proud of me.
Doing great poos.
Not really. Oh, bless her.
She was being sarcastic.
Yes.
I think, yeah.
So, yes.
So quite intense.
It was quite intense, and it's over fairly quickly. Like, it's quite a short journey.
Okay.
And when I was experiencing it, as I said, it felt like really severe period pain, which I hadn't had for many years. I used to get very severe period pain in my teens and early 20s, to the point of vomiting. And I guess that was actually one of my awakening experiences too, because it was through that pain and not wanting to take painkillers unless I was like at work and absolutely couldn't get away from it. I hated taking any medication, so I would be working through the pain by meditating, basically.
Yeah.
So it really taught me how to meditate, and it brought me to altered states as well, because anybody who's been through severe pain knows that that takes you to altered states. So I was having Cambo and experiencing this again, and I was like, I don't need to do this. I've done this so many times before, you know.
Yeah.
And so my feeling was, I don't need to do that again when I came out of it. But then what happened, and what often happens with Cambo, apparently, is that it's in, say, the days and the week afterwards that the emotions and the energies will come up.
So
and
it's like an integration process kind of thing.
Yeah. Well,
opening
or a slow opening.
Mm.
Yeah. It's a very cleansing medicine. Like, literally it goes through your lymphatic system. There's even, you know, from a physiological point of view, research on it around cancer treatment and things like that as well. So it has a strong physiological cleansing effect. But yeah, emotionally it's slower.
Yeah.
But for me, it surfaced a lot of grief, surfaced a lot of gratitude as well, but a lot of grief. And I wasn't really understanding where it was coming from until a month later. I was over in the States and had my first psychedelic experience with 5-MeO. So I just went like straight to the deep end of the pool. All right, let's go meet God.
Far out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
I was so ready.
Yeah.
I was so ready. I also experienced ayahuasca for the first time at that point, but I didn't really feel mama then. But 5-MeO, I don't know that there's any way not to feel that. So.
Did you research it before?
No, purposefully didn't.
Okay.
I knew a little bit about it, and I thought I was going over there for ayahuasca I was doing one-on-one work with a mentor over there.
Yes.
And so I thought I was going over for an ayahuasca ceremony, basically. Mm-hmm. And prior, in the maybe 3 weeks leading up to that, I had been learning a bit about 5-MeO, mm-hmm. DMT, but I hadn't looked into it a lot. I'd listened to a couple of podcasts.
Yeah.
But I was given from a friend a few books on it, but I purposefully didn't read it.
Yes.
Because I wanted to have my own experience when the time came and not be in my head going, oh, is this what's about to happen, or going to happen, or why didn't that happen, or will that happen, or... Yeah, so it didn't. I actually am an advocate of not really doing too much research.
Makes sense. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Was there a process prior? Did you have to do anything? Like, I know, for instance, there's some where you have
just some dietary restrictions for a few days prior. Yeah. And yeah, anyway, so I hadn't mentioned this to this mentor of mine, but I got there and he was like, oh, I've got a surprise for you. I've got something special for you.
Yeah.
And then he told me, I was like, oh, perfect.
Wow.
So yeah, it was, divinely orchestrated.
Yeah.
And that was like one of the best days of my life, really. And we had a couple of days prep together beforehand to just attune and get in rhythm and in sync and be in a good clear space on the day that we journeyed. And we journeyed quite a bit on that one day, and I tapped into the source of a lot of that grief. You know, aside from other things, tapped into the source of the grief, felt like I was literally vomiting from my uterus, which felt great, but there was a lot of grief held there.
Yeah.
And then gave birth to the earth and turned into the universe. And then dissolved.
Just that small thing.
It was the most ecstatic thing I've experienced. It was incredible. Now, some people really don't have experiences like that. I've had a couple... With 5-MeO, I love it every time. For me, it feels like going home, but a lot of people find that one of the hardest medicines. So if this area is something that interests people, I just really recommend tuning into yourself and which medicine is calling you, inviting you. Mm-hmm. Don't go, oh, that sounds amazing, or that sounds fun, or I want that experience, because every single journey is a different experience, even with exactly the same brew of the same medicine.
And the medicine will meet you wherever you're at.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So yeah, don't base anything on my experience, basically.
Well, some of the readings I've been doing, conversations I've been having, have been around people doing a little bit of research and then going, okay, well, deciding, as you just said, oh, I want that one because of those reasons. But then, like a cannabis nurse saying, being people coming to her for, you know, specific requirements and this and that, and saying, telling her which one they want to have, and she's going, well, I don't really think that would be right for you, I'm revising this one, and they go, no, I've made up my mind, I want this one, and then 2 weeks later, how was that? Not, you know, terrible.
Exactly.
Blah, blah,
and
blah.
That's, so that comes from making a mentor is definitely important, and it also shows a difference as well, I believe, in making a decision from a point of reason compared to intuition.
Yeah.
You know, because and that's why the research can get in the way. Yes, you want to know, like, the reason I went to the States is because I didn't feel at that point in time, I didn't know anybody in Australia that I really trusted, had the history, the experience, the wisdom to hold space for that medicine,
either
of those medicines.
Yeah.
And so I forked out and went to the States because the calling was that strong for me. I'd had it for about 10 years before I even acted on it. And it was like, it's time now.
Yeah.
That meal had been cooked and it was ready.
That's right. And I was so ready. And I didn't, as I said, I might have listened to 2 podcasts on 5-MeO. So I knew it was a complete dissolution of ego experience, and that was about it, you know. But I didn't go, I want that experience. I just felt like I felt the pull to the medicine, if that makes
sense. No, she was calling you, or it was whatever was calling you to that.
What? And to that point as well, you know, that was preceded by 20 years of therapy and meditation. Yes. You know, it wasn't
thank you for adding that. It's not
I'm
like
just going to rock up and do this. It's like if you are doing work with these medicines, you need to have a healthy sense of ego, especially with something like 5-MeO, because if your ego dissolves, you need to know what you're coming back to when you're reintegrating, right? If you don't know who you are before you go what's home? So a good mentor or shaman, a good medicine person will only serve if they know and they feel and they trust that you're in a position to, you know. So that's really important. There needs to be that responsibility from them.
And maybe a good intention or purpose of
You know, like with any of these medicines, set and setting is of utmost importance. The intention that you go into the space with, how the space is set up, do you feel safe in the space, do you feel safe with the person who's in the space with you, all of those things completely determine the type of experience that you're going to have. So it's not, you
this
know,
is something you're not just gonna like you this say, is I know not you'd a already weekend said it. Party that's thing. Right
yeah this is not I'm gonna go have ayahuasca with my mates each weekend. Like, I don't think that is wise at all, and I think it's actually quite disrespectful. These medicines, you know, they deserve a lot of respect. They deserve to be held in utter reverence. They are incredible gifts. They've got so much to both show us, help us experience, and to heal within us as well. It's not all up to us. We have these allies to work with, but they deserve so much respect.
Wow, that's really beautiful.
So
really, what did you come away with? Like, what you know, you've had this profound experience and you've seen
well, that one was years ago, so that was that was a big one for me in being able to actually embody and admit that I wanted kids and I didn't have kids yet. And to be able to say that out loud and to be able to say that to men without feeling like I'm one of those women or I'm desperate or I'm needy or I'm whatever, feeling the blank. Exactly.
Deeper and more meaningful.
And I had, you know, I grew up not wanting to be one of those women and not being a princess and being really strong and independent and not being high maintenance and all of those kinds of things. Easygoing, you know? Whereas now, like, if I see someone wants someone easygoing, I'm like, okay, you're not for me. And I'm okay with that. Because before I either never knew, didn't know what I want, or didn't admit to myself what I want, and or couldn't voice what I wanted. Whereas that's changed a lot since.
Since that experience? Beautiful.
And then I followed that up in Australia. I did a process called Path of Love with Path Retreats. And that is like an initiation for being human as well. Like, look into that, and if you feel a pull to do that, I highly recommend. Basically, everybody does that.
That's beautiful. What was that again? Can you just
Path of Love?
Yep.
And it's by pathretreats.com.
Okay.
And they, it's an exquisite process. I used to say, I don't say that word often, but I'm saying it a lot more frequently lately.
Which is awesome.
It's a beautiful word.
Well, there's been a lot of exquisiteness in the last few years, and certainly in the last couple of months. But yeah, it's like 10 years of therapy in 7 days. It's, you know, it's another deep dive, but with incredible people holding the space. So I, and it's, when I went, it was 50% men, 50% women, and we were in small groups. There was like 36 participants there, but we were in small groups of 6 or 8. And it was literally 50-50 men and women, which was so good for me, because so many processes and inner work things that you do, it's often majority women there.
Yeah.
which is great, and gathering with women is a power in itself and magic in itself. Mm-hmm. However, for me and the wound that I was healing, it just wouldn't have worked if men weren't there. Yeah. I needed men in front of me.
The masculinity. And it's just it's a nice balance, isn't it? Yeah,
it was so incredible. So being able to voice these longings out loud, you know, which in the past would have just made me want to vomit and die. It was huge. So things like that. And then I had a couple of journeys with ayahuasca over the last couple of years, and mushrooms, both assisted psychotherapy and more lately just my own exploration.
Mm-hmm.
And then
now you're 'cause that's studying this path too, aren't you? Like, this is the area that you would eventually probably like to move into, where you can actually facilitate these for other people.
It would be amazing to do that one of these days.
We'll go ahead and get a hands up.
But this year has been a big deep dive. So I've been doing both the Shamanic Womancraft course with Jane, which has been incredibly rich, and that's been intertwined beautifully with the plant medicine work that I've been doing.
Wow.
And the insights and the actual experiences, tangible, that then flow into my everyday life have been extraordinary. I'm not one to say life-changing. Yeah. It's been life-changing.
Yeah, how beautiful. How beautiful to be able to have all of those experiences, like from one end of the universe, literally.
Totally.
To feet on the ground and being able to intertwine those.
And that, I think, is key. You know, it's so important that with all of this, you do have your feet on the ground, and it's not, you're not just exploring one avenue as well, and you've got support to integrate what you've been learning and experiencing, because without integration, you're just having maybe a cool or maybe a tormented experience, depending on the journey, right? Like, some journeys have been tormenting.
Yes.
They're not always fun. It does take courage as well to work with these medicines, because it's going to show you the things you haven't been able to see or haven't been wanting to see or didn't even know there was to see, you know? And sometimes those things can be really confronting.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily easy. And yeah, it's not for the faint of heart. And you need to have support and processes to embody and integrate what you've been learning. Otherwise, you're just kind of there for the experience.
I have heard just with ayahuasca too, that a lot of people say that she stays with you, you know, and the integration can go for years with her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which just sounds so beautiful.
And I've never had such a tangible experience of a plant being or a plant spirit being present with me, like in almost in human form, like this forest nymph or something. And she's been there, and there's been a few circumstances where I've genuinely felt like her saying, just stand back, I've got this.
Yeah.
And she's taken care of it in a way that I could not have conceived, but worked out perfectly for me.
So
and
beautiful.
I was just like, thank you. Like, I didn't know how I was going to manage that situation. And I just was able to not surrender, but step back and be open to the magic of the support that was there for me.
Yeah. And that's available, even without doing ayahuasca.
Totally.
That's what's available.
Totally.
For all of us, if we're just more open and allowing.
Because
what
I'm hearing is like such a separate, because I'm a plant medicine virgin.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, you know, experimenting with different things over the years, like just like, cannabis and things like that, like I always get taken out, like, because like cigarettes I can't smoke, nicotine, I just oxygen deprivation, you know, whatever it is, but you know, drugs and things that people experiment with, as you say, like partying and stuff like that, it seems to be such a endorphin situation that people go for, as opposed to this journey and this connection and the oneness, you know, like that feeling of being nurtured, cared for, that the seeing, you know.
Yeah, all she's those, so loving. The seeing, like, just, she's so loving, regardless of what's being shown, even if it's not
great,
pleasant.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's a very different energy and experience to it if you're taking it socially. Like it, like anything, any of these medicines, like anything, can be used for awesome and with reverence and respect, or can be abused and adulterated, right? Whether it's the substance that is adulterated or the process that is adulterated, the ceremony, the experience of it, the delivery of it. So, and all of those things affect your experience of it, and you can go really outward with these things, or you can go really inward with them, and you can use them as like distractions as much as you can use anything else as a distraction, or you can use it to really engage in processes that will bring more awareness to yourself, basically.
Yeah, anchor yourself into the areas that you need to be more anchored in, or however that looks.
So there's always the how, not just the what.
It's so incredible. I love this area that you're going down, and it's so needed.
Well, just experiencing my own gains, my own growth, my own evolution and embodiment from it, and then also seeing similar in other people's experiences as well. Yeah, as I said, they're just such extraordinary gifts, you know. So, yeah, there's a lot in there for anybody who feels the call.
Yeah, and that's that last sentence you just said, the call.
Because it's not for everybody.
No,
it's not for everybody. And it's not something that you want to do out of a ego point of I want to be able to say I've done that, or this seemed like a cool thing to do, or I don't really want to do it but I know my friend wants to do it and so I'll do it with them, or like whatever version. You do not want to do it unless you feel within you a pull to do it.
I've heard that she'll give you a whack if you're not supposed to, or she'll let you know, or she'll show you what you need to see.
Yeah, if you weren't meant to do it, you'll know about it.
Yes.
Yeah, and you won't enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's about being responsible at the bottom line. Yeah.
It's a very honourable situation, isn't it, to be in, really, because, I don't know, it feels like the gifts are so great, but it's not all chocolate.
No.
Well, it's back to that thing we were talking about earlier where, you know, the society wants us to live in a band and, you know, that's the medication. So we've got, you know, the medication on one side, and then we've got nature on the other, who's giving us these amazing gifts, but we're not allowed to talk about it or do it or whatever.
And the cultural band is, it's like such a narrow band.
Absolutely.
You know? And the realm and possibility of experience, of the human experience outside of that, is extraordinary. And that's the bit where I go, oh my gosh, everybody has the right to experience this. Not everyone may want to. Not everybody is ready to. Yeah. Everyone has the right to, though, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I feel like, the choice should be there.
Yes,
the choice is there,
because there's that verging on the exploitation of it, you know, coming through with the way that it's moving into mainstream with psychotherapy and you know, all those realms, now medical clinics, all that type of thing. And we've, you know, probably a lot of us have seen Gwyneth's Goop experience on YouTube. You know, there is that mainstream area that's moving in hot and strong into this field of medicine,
looking for ways to monetize,
always, which is what you're saying as well.
Because there's people out there that are charging ginormous amounts of money, and you know, from what I've been told, is that it should be, you know, I get there has to be an exchange, of course, with anything, but a lot of people are doing this donation based, where you pay there's no amount you can pay for that experience. It's incredible. But, it's becoming, people are using it to, you know,
finding a way for it to come into mainstream, which is
And I get it's kind of the light and the dark of it coming to mainstream. On one hand, it's good that there's more awareness and, you know, even things like How to Change Your Mind, the book and the series on Netflix, great introduction for people who don't have any understanding or experience.
What is that called?
How to Change Your Mind.
Okay, beautiful.
It's Michael Pollan's, based on Michael Pollan's book. Well, he's got a book by the same name.
Okay.
And then there's maybe a 4-episode series on Netflix.
Yeah.
That goes through 4 different medicines. And because he's an experiential journalist,
yes,
he goes and experiences all these things. But he's been, you know, very mainstream over the years and his focus has generally been on food. And so the way he presents it, like, it is really grounded, down to earth, practical.
Really?
Like, this is, and also goes into, like, this is the history of what happened in the 60s and 70s, and this is why we have the stigma around these plants and substances now.
Yeah.
And was it actually to do with safety or was it political?
Yeah.
He lays that out really well. So I think that's a really good introduction for anybody who's like brand new to the world and hasn't even really considered it. That's really worth a watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because not getting caught in the stigma trap, that's a big one, isn't it? Because there's a lot of, like yourself, a lot of, you know, very powerful, very educated, intelligent heart people that are in this field that have so much experience, knowledge to share.
Mm.
But breaking through how to share that is quite a difficult arena, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
Like, we all, everybody, I think there's not so many people want to hear, like, mental health today is just a huge issue. And this is such a powerful area of healing for mental health and understanding a part of ourselves that has been disconnected, turned off for so long, and how to bring that back into reality through plant medicines.
Yeah, and again, it doesn't function on its own. Like, even with the mental health side of things, how inflamed is your physiology?
Mm.
What are you eating?
Yeah.
You know, all of those things come into play as well. So I'm very passionate about, it's not all physical, it's not all emotional, it's not all energetic, it's, you know, it's not all any one of those things. We need to bring in all of those elements for healing.
Mm.
Otherwise, you know, we see this a lot. There's people who are like, it's all energy and I'm just going to meditate and, you know, whatever, and it'll go away. And I'm like, have you seen how inflamed your joints are and how much sugar is in your diet? And, you know, or like, you're never going to be not depressed when that's looking like that, and then on the flip side, there's people in the physical realm like biohacking this and biohacking that and this supplement and that device and not looking at any of the emotional or spiritual aspects of their being, and again, they are going to continue having health conditions and symptoms because of not looking at all of it. So bringing it all together, so important. Nothing
holistic.
It's not a nothing's a one-hit panacea.
Yeah, no, I agree totally. That's what we're about too, looking at all different viewpoints.
Mm.
And definitely the viewpoints and the different pathways incorporate, you know, and Helen's words, weaving that tapestry, isn't it? You know, pulling it all together and,
And that's what feels like really yummy and exciting is feeling all those threads come together, you know, because throughout my life they've been, I guess, quite loose and strands have been flopping off this way and that way, and, you know, or there was a little picture on the tapestry over here and a little picture over here, but a lot of space in between, and now it's like all the threads came out and they're now all coming back in and forming a full picture, and I'm really excited to see
When you explained that 5-MeO, I know we're gonna experience that. For me, was like dropping into that full picture. The full medicine universe, the whole picture
totally.
Right there, the essence of that. Wow, yeah.
Helen sitting here, take me there now.
I think that's a really lovely way to finish up. Although we could, you know, sit here and talk about.
So many things.
I know.
I feel like we've barely scratched the surface.
I agree. Yeah. I think there's so many places that we can go with you, which we will definitely be getting you back
Please leave some comments and questions if you have any to contribute to the next time with Helen.
But I will leave all of Helen's details at the bottom of the podcast. And thank you so much for coming in. It's been such an honour for us.
Such a joy.
Joy was going to be the word. Such a joy.
Thank you. Podcast. We will see you next week with a new guest, and we look forward to sharing with you an awakening. There's a link in our show notes for info regarding our guest, and a special blissful thank you to Ksenia Luki, the amazing artist behind our theme song. We will see you next week. Bye.
I talk to a spirit, she comes in my dreams. She teaches me lessons, and boy does she sing. Her voice sways like a hummingbird flies.